Ladies and lesbians, Andy here, day 173 of the Inner Winner Show. This will be a pretty chilled, pretty laid-back podcast. Imogen and I just had a threesome last night with the new girl that we're seeing. First time we met this girl. I thought I'd kind of walk through and talk about what it was like, you know, how we made it happen, all that kind of stuff. We'll just have a pretty chilled, casual podcast today because I've had a couple of coaching calls earlier today and they were really big, really heavy coaching calls. Both clients were really depressed. Both discussions were about the meaning of life and figuring out what you want. They were really long, really epic calls. And, you know, I'm feeling a bit chilled and a bit like brain dead after that. So we'll just have a bit of a casual chat today. So we met this girl last night through Imogen's Tinder, just the usual lines that we use where she'll say like, hey, you know, you're really cute. I'm Imogen. I'm looking for something very specific on here. The girl will say, what's that? And she'll say, you know, a guy I'm seeing is teaching me BDSM. Have you ever experienced a BDSM threesome dynamic, or is that something you'd like to explore? You know, most girls will be into it because they've obviously matched with us because they're into that, because Imogen's profile has a bunch of BDSM pictures already on there. She's got like a picture of her with handcuffs. She's got like a picture of her in lingerie and shit. So it's like pretty obvious. And her bio even says, you know, a guy that I'm dating is into BDSM. Her bio says, I'm in an open relationship. You know, we're both into BDSM and we're both good at teaching. So it's pretty obvious, you know, right from the get-go, if you match with us, we're in a relationship. We're all about that BDSM shit. You're going to have a threesome with us. So we only really match with girls that are down with that. So we met this girl. She looks super cute in her pictures. One thing that we do now, because we're at the point, you know, where we have like more than enough matches. This is like the 21st girl that we've had a threesome with, right? Like, and at some point, you get to a point where you're like, you know, I want to be going for quality. Like that happens with everyone once you've had enough lays. I've had a ridiculous, like I've had probably too much sex at this point, right? So you start getting pretty fussy and you start saying, I'm going to screen for whatever I want and I can be as fussy as I want. And so we're both like crazy fussy at this point. We have like a long checklist. We both have our own checklists and there are some things that I'm okay with that Imogen isn't and vice versa. So we're both like fussy in our own ways. And then we obviously look at where we overlap. We go for only the girls that have the overlaps that satisfy both of our needs or our wants, so to speak, or our desires. Anyway, so one of the things that we do to make sure that we're both getting something, that we're both going to meet someone that's happy with, because we didn't even want to really go on a date with a chick if we're not going to already be super into her, right? So we screen like crazy. And one of the things that we look for is she has to have a really nice body. So we'd ask each girl, like, hey, send me a couple of pictures of your body. Like, you know, you got to be naked. Like, send us some naked pictures. After we've already sent them some naked pictures and some of the BDSM photo shoots and stuff that we do to show them what they're going to be in for. And probably, like, let's say, like, 75% of the girls will send you a nude picture back. Some of the ones won't. And the ones that won't, it's like, yeah, fair enough. We're just not going to meet you. Like, we'll be very nice about it. We'll be like, yeah, no worries. That's a deal breaker. Like, it was nice meeting you. You know, all the best. And we just won't meet them. But most girls will send you a nude. This girl, I swear to God. So, for context, this girl has only ever been in one relationship before ever. And she was with, like, a long-term boyfriend and for a couple of years. I think it was, like, 2.5 years or something. So she's kind of fresh to the dating scene. She said she'd only just installed Tinder. She's super nervous. She'd never fooled around with a girl before. You know, she's not really even super confident with guys. So she's a fucking cutie sweetheart. And so when we said, like, send us pictures of your body, she's like sent these pictures of her just like wearing normal clothes. And so Imogen was like, you know, no, like your body. And so then she sends a picture of her in like workout, like gear, like a sports bra and stuff. And Imogen's like, no, like naked. And then finally she's like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm just really shy. Like I'm not going to do it. So anyway, but like the pictures were good enough. The picture of her in a sports bra, she's athletic. She has abs. Like she's quite tall. She's got massive tits. She's got like double D's and she's super thin. She's like, you can see her hip bone. She's got abs. She's like in really good condition. She does boxing. She goes for a run every day. She's in great condition. So we meet up with this girl. We didn't go to a bar, which is what we normally do because there's lockdown laws and mask mandates and all that sort of bullshit here. So we just grabbed a couple of like soft drinks, a couple of Cokes, and we just went and sat in a park together and chatted for a while. And another thing that Imogen and I do to make sure that we're both on the same page, because one of the things that you guys might not think about if you're going to have a threesome, early on, like the first couple of threesomes you have, you'll just take whatever you can get. That doesn't mean the girls will be ugly, but I'm saying like beggars can't be choosers at the start. Like the second threesome I had was with a girl that we were both like kind of attracted to, but not like ultra attracted to. And we had a couple of other threesomes with girls that were like, you know, cute, but not like they're not going to blow your mind or anything. And that's kind of what you do at the start, because I was just super keen for a threesome. I just wanted to have a threesome. I just wanted to be able to say, like, I can have threesomes. I'm a guy that can have threesomes. But as you get more experience, you obviously become a lot more fussy. And so it's easy enough if you're on a date with a girl, it's easy enough for you to decide, I'm not really that into her, so I'll just end the day. I'll be super polite. I'll just be like, hey, like, you know, this was fun, like, you know, I'll walk you back to the train station or whatever. You can just cut the date short. It's pretty easy. It gets more difficult when you have two people there, because like, how do you communicate? Like, how do you know if you're both into the girl? And so like, it's kind of fun because you have to come up with some signals or something like that. And you could either do like signals as in you two will look at each other, or you can do some sort of signal as in you will communicate something to each other. And so normally when we go to a bar, what we've just been doing is like at some point, like maybe half an hour into the date or like an hour into the date, we usually don't have dates for more than like, I think an hour is like the longest we've ever sat in a bar with a chick. It's usually more like 45 minutes, roughly around there. Anyway, after some amount of time, one of us will go to the toilet and then we'll like text the other person with a yes or a no. And we'll both reply. We'll be like, yes, yes. If it's a yes, yes, obviously we'll invite it back. If one of us says no, it's like, yeah, fair enough. We'll just like end it there. We'll be polite and just say like, hey, you know, sorry, not really feeling the chemistry. Like, you know, you seem really sweet. We'll walk, you know, we'll say goodbye here. But we couldn't do that because we were in a park. There's nowhere for one of us to go. So we came out with like a cute little signal. There's a bridge. We sat across from this bridge, and this bridge has like colored lights on it at night. And every night they change the colors. So each night is a different color. And so what we said is the question was going to be, I just bring it up and I brought it up at some point. I said like, what color do you think the bridge is going to be? I think it's going to be green. And green obviously means I'm into the chick. Yeah, we should take her back. We should fuck her. If Imogen wasn't into her, she would have said, I think it's going to be red. So we brought that up and I said like, I think it's going to be green. And then the other girl's like, I think it's going to be yellow. And I was like, I don't care what color you think, bitch. Like, this isn't about you. This is about me and Imogen are coming up with the color. So Imogen's like, I think it's going to be green. And so I was like, sweet. Like, great. We invite her back. So it's funny the things that you, like the logistics of having a threesome, there's a lot of things that you don't think about at all that you'll never think about that is like completely different to just a solo sex with like you and her, like you and one chick. There's a lot of extra shit that you have to plan and think about with threesomes. Things like logistics become a lot harder. One of my clients, I just got off a coaching call an hour or so ago, actually, with one of my clients who's had his first threesomes. Fucking shout out to him. What a legend. Absolute legend. He made it happen. He went out there. He did everything I have in the guide, in the threesome guide, and he just made that shit happen. Super fucking proud of the guy. But one of the things that he talked about is how like nerve-wracking the logistics can be, because like, not only do you have to organize your schedule and another girl's schedule, now you have a second girl's schedule. So it's like three people have to be free on the same day. You then also have things like they can't both be on their periods. And one of the girls that he saw was on her period, but like, it doesn't matter. They just, you know, didn't worry about it. They did other stuff. You can still do a plenty of fooling around. You can have sex with one of the girls and not the other. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can do if one girl's on her period. It's not that big a deal, but you know, it is one more thing to think about. All of a sudden, this shit gets like five times harder, logistically speaking, when you're having a threesome. Now, once you get experience, this stuff is not hard at all. Like, I don't even think about any of this stuff anymore. But the first couple of threesomes you have, you'll be like nervous as hell. You'll be like absolutely wrecked with like nervousness of how do I make this happen? Oh my God, what if one flakes on me? What if one says no? And this client of mine said it was funny when he got back to his apartment, like, starting the threesome, he knew what to do because I had told him before. He's read my guide. He knows what to do. You know, there's a million ways you can start the actual threesome when you're at your place. It's not a big deal once you've done it a few times, but the first time it will be a big deal because you have no idea what to do. Now, you can just grab one of them and kiss them. You can say to both of them, you two should kiss. You can say something like, I'm super nervous. Like, are you guys nervous? And then you just kind of go from there. You can just start rubbing one of their legs. You can get one of them to come over to you and cuddle you. You can say to one of them, have you ever fooled around with a girl? And then she'll say like, no. And then you'll be like, all right, let's try right now. Try touching this other girl's tits. There's a million ways you can start it, right? Like, I'm sure you guys can think of a million ways to start a threesome. But when you're in that moment, the first couple of threesomes you have, it's absolutely terrifying. And so this coaching client of mine was going through that shit. He said, like, I was sitting there on the couch and I knew that I wanted to start the threesome, but all of a sudden it's like my mind just went blank and I was like, how do you start a threesome? And he was like, I had no idea. Like, I literally said, I'm nervous and I don't know how to start this threesome. So I've been there. That was me for my first like three or four threesomes. Yeah, I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. It's far easier once you're more comfortable, right? So we all went back to my place. We sat on the couch, they chatted for like 5 minutes, the two of them, while I fucking got a drink and went to the toilet and stuff like that. I came back. And then at that point I just sat between them. I just said to the shy girl, the new girl, I said, you know, have you ever fooled around with a girl? Like, what stuff have you tried? She said like, nothing. I've never tried anything. And then I just like, would you like to try? And she got so freaking shy. She was fucking adorable. Like, she looked down at the ground and she like got really shy. She blushed. She had this giant smile on her face and she's like, don't ask me that. And I was like, would you like to try something? And she's like, you can't ask me that. I'm shy. And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, do you want a cuddle? And she goes, yes, please. And I was like, okay, you can have a cuddle. And then she like launched herself at me, buried her head in my chest and just like grabbed, like wrapped her arms around me and just like snuggled like a little fucking teddy bear or something. It was so goddamn cute. And then Imogen came over and like gave her a hug from the other side and was like, oh, you're so cute. And then from there, it was just like a process of, okay, don't hit your microphone when you're doing podcasts, Andy, you fucking retard. So from there, it was just a process of, you know, I said to her, like, do you want to try kissing Imogen? She did that. I kissed her for a little bit. Then we just like kind of played with her tits for a little bit. I like to go really slow, and Imogen does too, with a girl who's like a virgin or just a girl who hasn't had a lot of experience, especially a girl who's never done anything with another girl. I have to, like, as horny as I might be in that moment, and I want to just like take her to the bedroom and fuck her brains out and fuck Imogen's brains out, I like to kind of empathize, or I like to empathize with her and think, you know, how did I feel the first couple of times I had a new experience, especially a sexual one? I wanted to explore it. I wanted to try some new stuff. I wanted to, you know, really take my time with each different step. And so I like to put myself in her shoes and think like, what would it be like for her? She's never kissed a girl. I'll let them make out for like 15 minutes. You know what I mean? We'll play with her tits really, really, really gently. I'll teach her and walk her through how to play with Imogen's tits. And I really like taking on that mentoring role. I think you guys know I'm probably, you know, always going to be like that. That's why I have a website. That's why I have a podcast. I really like mentoring people. That's why I do coaching. And I have that kind of dynamic in the bedroom with girls. And so we took her into the bedroom, laid her down. We took off some of her clothes and we just like really gently made out with her. I talked her through how to make Imogen feel good. So I said, you know, like, it's like you have to become really autistic is probably the best word. You have to like really narrow it down and literally explain everything. Cause you got to understand, this person is essentially a virgin when it comes to like the female body, right? Just like all of us when we were virgins, or some of you virgin guys out there, that's why you ask those kind of questions where you're like, how do I kiss a girl? Like, how do I hold her hand? Like, how do I do any of this stuff? And it sounds autistic the first couple of times you try it or talk about it or ask about it, because you literally don't know. You're like, what angle do I hold my hand at when I'm trying to hold her hand? You know, what firmness do I have my lips as I'm kissing her? Like, how much of my tongue do I put in her mouth? You have to ask these questions because you don't know, or you have to figure it out as you go along. It's fine to make mistakes. You don't need to know all the answers, but I like to talk girls through that stuff. So we laid Imogen down. Imogen was naked. And then I just kind of talked this girl through it. I said, you know, try pinching her nipples, try twisting them, try pulling on them like this, try flicking them with your hand. Do you want to try kissing them? And she's like, yeah, I'd like to, but I don't know what to do. And so it's like, okay, try just kissing her nipples the same way you kiss her lips. Try sucking on them, try biting them, try flicking your tongue over them. And you kind of just talk her through that stuff over like, you know, a 15, 20 minute period. So she has plenty of time to practice. You can also do stuff to her and say, okay, see how that felt good. Just do that to Imogen. And then that's easy. At some point she went down on Imogen, or I said, do you want to go down on Imogen? And she was like crazy nervous. She's like, I really do, but I have no idea what to do. And so again, you have to just kind of, if you're with a girl who hasn't had experience with another girl, you know, it's just a process of walking her through this stuff, teaching her, showing her, saying like, hey, you don't have to be perfect. That's okay. Like, I will teach you what to do. We'll try this. And then I always like to lay down there with her. So I will lie down next to her, like in between Imogen's legs, or I will lie like on the other side of Imogen's legs, right down like at face level with the other girl. And I'll say like, you know, I'll just talk to her like quietly, just her and I talking while Imogen closes her eyes and enjoys it. And I'll just say like, you know, try this. Try licking this part of her clit. Try sucking on this. Try gently biting her clit really, really gently. Try this, try a finger inside her, try all this sort of stuff. So that was a hell of a lot of fun. I really like that dynamic. Imogen likes that dynamic. If you guys have been listening for a while, you know that we both like that kind of, you know, those kind of girls who are a little more shy, a little more inexperienced, who haven't done stuff with girls, even virgin girls. You know, we really love like teaching virgin girls and showing them this world of sexuality and, you know, how to try all this stuff and how to get decent at it. Because you're going to suck at the start. I think we said that to her 100 times. Like, you're going to suck. It's okay. You don't know what you're doing. So that was a lot of fun. And then we kind of flipped roles and Imogen and I focused on this girl. And like, my God, this girl has a superpower. Not a lot of girls have this superpower, but like the ones who do, like, holy shit. Like, she can just orgasm with basically no effort in like 15 to 30 seconds of you just like touching her clit so gently. She'll just orgasm within 30 seconds and she can just have like back-to-back unlimited orgasms. Like, she doesn't need a break in between. She doesn't feel too sensitive in between. She can just come and then come and come and come and come from like nothing. Like, she came from us licking her pussy at some point, barely even doing anything. At one point, I was touching her clit like as gently as I possibly could to try and tease her. And then she's like, oh, can I come? And I was like, holy fuck, I'm not doing anything, you psycho. Like, this is amazing. I love girls who have that superpower. It's really, really, really rare. It's like 1 in 20 girls, I guess. That's just a number I pulled out of my ass, but it feels roughly correct. Like 1 in 20 girls, maybe less than that even, that can orgasm that easily, where you feel like you're just teasing them and they start orgasming and you're like, holy shit. So we had a ton of fun with that. We made her orgasm like a ridiculous amount of times. She was really, really, really tight. Like, I couldn't even get a finger in at first. Like, she was ridiculously tight. She says she hasn't had sex in a couple of months and, you know, she's only had one boyfriend before that. I don't think she's had a lot of sex with him. I don't know how much sex they had together. She didn't seem all that experienced and she said she was like super nervous. But yeah, she was like crazy tight. Sex itself was pretty hard. Like, we didn't really have proper sex. Like, I fucked her for like maybe a minute or two in total, but she was just too tight. So even with me going really gently, it just didn't work. Even with lube and stuff, it felt good and stuff. She just said like, it's kind of tight. Is it okay if we go a bit slower? So that will happen sometimes with girls who aren't experienced, especially with virgins. Like, with virgins, you got to take your time, man. You got to take like 30 minutes to an hour just to even get your dick in. Like, if you're going to do it right, if you don't want to hurt her. So She'll get used to the size, you know, she'll be fine. I'm not even like a massive guy or anything. Like, my dick is like slightly above average. So, you know, I think it's just an inexperienced thing and she hasn't had sex in a while. Yeah, it was still fun. What else did we do? We made her ask permission every time she orgasmed. I should say she's super submissive, like crazy submissive. So that was a hell of a lot of fun. We both love really submissive girls. And, you know, she called Imogen mistress the entire time. And she asked what we wanted to, she asked Imogen what to call me, and Imogen said, whatever you like. And then she just like randomly had this look of like lust. Some girls get this look of lust in their eyes and I fucking love it, especially from inexperienced girls when they get really turned on. This girl had like a look of lust in her eyes when she looked at me and she said like, daddy. And I was like, okay, here we go. Like, you know, you're going to be my favorite, you know, good girl. I fucking love that daddy shit. So that was a lot of fun. Getting her to ask permission every time she wanted to orgasm was fun. And we kept saying no, like over and over. I think we said no like 9 times in a row and we just stopped rubbing her. So she had like, she'd calm down for like 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Then we'd start rubbing her again and she'd get really close and she'd be like, please, please, please. And then we'd stop. We did that like 9 times or so and then finally let her have an orgasm. I think she had like freaking 10 orgasms or something over the session, over the, like, we played for like 2 hours or something. Like, she's a hell of a lot of fun. It was a hell of a lot of fun. And what else did we do? Yeah, she really liked watching me fuck Imogen. She got really, really turned on by that. I think she's going to turn into one of those girls who's just like, once she gets really comfortable with her sexuality, which is, she seems like she's getting closer, already in that one session. But like once she's really okay with like, okay, I'm allowed to be sexy, I'm allowed to be filthy, I'm allowed to be dirty, I'm allowed to enjoy sex. You can see that she's kind of holding back a little bit, which obviously like everyone does the first time they have sex with like a new partner. And especially if you've only been with one person before, you're going to be super, you know, you're going to hold back a bit. I can see once she opens up, she's going to be one of those girls that's just like really like depraved. And I mean that in a really good way. Like she has that look of lust in her eyes, especially when she says daddy, and she put on this cute little innocent voice and like she would snuggle up to us a couple of times and she tried being bratty at one point. Some girls are really into that. They like to do that where they would deliberately in a really cheeky way say no to you. Like you'll say like, turn around, and they'll have a giant smile on their face and they'll be like, no. Or they'll be like, what if I don't? Like, you know, they're trying to play up on that naughty aspect so that you will punish them. And so we spanked her a couple of times. She fucking loved that. She got really horny over that. She's just like a barrel of fun, especially for someone who's, you know, more inexperienced and hasn't really practiced this stuff. At some point we said to her, like, how come you're so good at this stuff? Like, you know, where'd you learn all this stuff? And she, bless her cotton socks, she said like the last couple of days, like, because we messaged her like a week ago. Would have been like 3 days ago, maybe 3 or 4 days ago we matched with her. And so she said like she's been spending that time on Pornhub. Like some girls do this, like doing research. It's so fucking cute when they do. We've had a couple of other girls do this as well. I even had a virgin girl that I dated like many, many years ago who went and did a bunch of research after the first time we had sex so that she can get really good at it. And then she came back and she was just like crazy depraved and like super horny. And she gave me like, it wasn't the best blowjob, but she was like really enthusiastic about it, even though she didn't know what the fuck she was doing. And like, she just learned that from porn. And so this girl did the same shit. She's like, she was on porn. She was looking up like lesbian porn and submissive porn and like daddy porn and all that so that she could practice so that she would know what to do and know what to say. It was so fucking cute. It was really adorable. I actually really like that. I really like when girls do that because I think most of us can agree, like, it isn't a common female trait to want to get really good at sex and to go out and do your own research. Now, a lot of girls will want to get good at sex, but they normally just do that through practice. There aren't a lot of girls, or it's a rare trait. Maybe it's a rare trait for guys too. It probably is now that I think about it, but I obviously only fuck women, so I only see that side of the equation. It's a rare trait for women to go and do their own research and actively take the initiative to get better at sex. And I really respect that. I admire the hustle. Plus, it's just hot as hell having like an inexperienced, really shy girl do these really depraved things because she's desperate to please you. She said like a million times, I want to be good for you too. I want to please both of you. And I guess we can talk about that for a little bit. One of the things that Imogen and I talked through the first time we set up her profile, Imogen's profile, to go and find other girls and to really screen for like threesomes. And when I started screening for threesomes as well on Tinder, the first thing we said is like Imogen asked me, do you think that there will be many girls out there who, you know, won't get put off by the fact that we're a couple looking for threesomes? Like, do you think there'll be many girls that want that? And I said to her, I don't 100% know because I obviously haven't run the experiment yet. I haven't tried. We haven't tried screening directly for threesomes on Tinder, so we don't know. But I'm going to suggest to you that it's probably a numbers game just like everything else seems to be. And just like I wasn't sure if there'd be any girls that are into BDSM until I tried it and then I found out there's fucking billions of them, I said to her, I'm predicting right now, I'm going to make a prediction. I bet you there are a ton of girls on Tinder and just, you know, in the real world, I bet you there's a ton of girls that fantasize about a threesome. I bet you there are a ton of girls that want to belong to a couple or be used by a couple or be fucked by a couple, however you want to phrase it. I bet you there's a shit ton of girls out there that would just get off on the idea of, you know, going to an established couple and that couple, like, you know, fucks their brains out and, like, you know, they're like the mistress to that couple, however you want to. And when I say mistress, I mean like, you know, in the same way that you would say like a wife and then you have your mistress. So I predicted that. And yeah, of course I was correct. Of course that's the way all this shit works. But until you've actually experienced that, you're going to be thinking like, shit, are there any girls that would want to, you know, have sex with me and my girlfriend? It's like, yeah, as long as you two look attractive and have good pictures on Tinder, of course. Like, of course, you don't have to look amazing. Neither of us look amazing. We don't have the world's best pictures. But if you just have pretty decent pictures and you, you know, play the numbers game and talk to enough women, of course, there's a ton of girls. And so this girl is a perfect example of that. Most of the girls that we meet are, most of them express the fact that they like to belong to both of us. They want to be like ours, so to speak. But this girl especially, this girl said specifically so many times, like, I really just want to belong to both of you. I really want to have two people that dominate me. I really want to be like your girl, both of you. Like, I just want to belong to both of you and have sex with both of you and please both of you. I want to be like, you know, like a menage a trois, but where I'm like, you know, the small, like the submissive girl, the little one, and you guys kind of like are the, you know, what's the word? Like the two dominants, the maternal and paternal figure, like that kind of shit, right? So she absolutely got off on that. That's a lot of fun because we really like that dynamic as well. It's really fun, like teaching a girl, you know, getting her to open up and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, overall, it was really fucking fun. It really was fucking fun. We really like this chick. Gonna keep seeing her, obviously. I don't know if she's happy to, because one of the things that Imogen and I have talked about is getting a girl on our podcast, because we think that would be a ton of fun. Like interviewing a girl, just sitting around and having a chat and being like, you know, hey, what do you think the sex is like? What is it like, you know, dating a couple? Were you nervous coming to, you know, an already established relationship? Do you ever feel like a third wheel? What is the sex like? You know, do you ever get jealous of the other girl? Like all those kind of questions. Like I think those are really fascinating questions that I don't think many people have ever asked. I don't know of it. I'm sure there must be sex and dating podcasts where those questions get asked. I just haven't heard any. So I would love to ask that. So at some point, you know, maybe like the fifth time we've had sex with this girl, getting ahead of myself, but whatever. At some point, once we've had sex with her for a bit, we'll see if she wants to come on the podcast. No promises. She may say no. She may be way too nervous. It is pretty intimidating putting your entire sex life out there, especially when she's ultra conservative. She comes from a really conservative family. And she said she's only just accepted the fact she's 19. She said she's only just accepted the fact that she likes girls like 2 months ago. And, you know, she's pretty new to all this. So, but I'll see what she says. She was a bundle of fun. All good. Let's pull another message out of this, another takeaway from this, because I like giving you guys takeaways from every podcast. I don't really like the podcast where I kind of just ramble. I always like every podcast to have a point to it. I want you to leave every podcast feeling like, okay, like there's something I learned, or at least there's something he reminded me of that I already knew, but you know, I'm going to focus on it again. So let's make today similar to a podcast I did a couple of days ago where I came to this one feeling absolutely wrecked, right? When I sat down and hit the record button, I really didn't feel like doing a podcast. I've said that a lot the last couple of months, haven't I? I've had quite a few podcasts. I really didn't feel like doing it. And this was another one. I felt super tired after those really, really, really big coaching calls that I had today. Two coaching clients that were just crazy, 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 like meaning of life. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. Like those take a lot out of me. They really do. I have to be on point for those. I have to empathize. I really like empathize a lot with those kind of, I empathize with all of my clients, but in those moments, I'm really like, damn, I don't want this fucking, you know, motherfucker to be sad. Like, it takes a lot out of me emotionally. So, and I should be clear, I really like doing those fucking calls. Like, I love those calls. Those give me a lot. They're just exhausting, right? It's really exhausting. And so, two of those in a row, really, I think I talked for like 3.5 hours in total by the time you add those two together back to back. Really tired. And I said to myself, just like I've said a million times, doesn't matter how tired you are, you need to sit down, you need to do the work, you know what you're working towards, you need to do podcasts, this is going to get you closer to your goal. Even though you don't feel like it, just sit down, just keep an open mind, see what happens. And once again, I sit down and I'm pretty happy with this podcast. It's not the best podcast I've ever done. I think it's a bit of fun. You get a nice takeaway at the end. I'm pretty happy with this. I'm pretty happy to stop recording, put it out on the internet, have you guys hopefully learn something or at least have a nice, you know, nice chilled podcast to listen to about me and my fucking threesomes. So anytime you guys are sitting there feeling like I don't want to do anything today, I'm too tired, or, you know, the worst excuse of all that I am tempted to use, I don't use it much anymore, of, you know, I'm too tired or things aren't perfect and so therefore this isn't going to be good. Don't let that be an excuse. Never, ever, ever, especially if you're a content creator, don't use the excuse of saying, this isn't going to be perfect, therefore I shouldn't do it, or I should wait until I'm feeling better. Just sit down, record a bunch of shit, or if you're going outside to talk to girls, just do some shitty approaches, where even if you're grumpy and it's not great conversation, you're tired, you don't feel like talking to anyone, it doesn't matter, just do some shit approaches you're going to find that a lot of the time you accidentally do a good job. This also applies to going to the gym. If you're tired and you think, yeah, it's going to be a bad workout, what's the point? Just rock up to the gym, have a bad workout. You'll find halfway through the workout, you'll just start like coming into your element. You'll start getting that energy. You'll feel that motivation. You'll start busting your ass. A lot of the time you'll have the best workout of the fucking week on a day when you didn't want to go to the gym. So sit down. Force yourself to do whatever it is that you're making excuses, even if you don't feel like doing it. Give yourself permission to suck at it. Just tell yourself, it's okay if this is shit. It's okay if I don't crush it at the gym today. It's okay if I don't have great approaches and don't get any numbers when I'm talking to these girls. That doesn't matter. I'm just going to show up anyway, and I'm just going to see what happens. Because a lot of the time when you show up and just see what happens, something fucking magical happens. You'll never give yourself that chance if you don't take those... Sorry. If you don't take that chance and give yourself that opportunity, you're completely missing out. You're failing by default. So don't let yourself fail by default. Give yourself that chance. Sit down and do the work. Go out and go to the gym. Go talk to girls. Whatever it is you're avoiding, even if it's a shitty day and you don't feel like doing it, just at least keep an open mind and give it a crack anyway.